This is an
Get in
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
He knows nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN on this Thursday night.
Okay.
It's brought to you by All American Ford Auto Group. Shop the largest and best Ford group in the Northeast at allamericanford.net. All American Ford has the largest selection of best prices with locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant, New Jersey. We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
No, I'm not in the minority. I'm in the intellectual majority.
And we'll say good evening to Don.
Don and Peter with you until 7, and then we are going to have the great Brewers-Pirates game coming up at 7 o'clock.
You know, that was a great game. That was a great game.
Fantastic. Well, guys, we spent so much time talking about the crimes of the Houston Astros. We didn't have time to talk about the crimes of Odell Beckham Jr. Yes, I mean crimes. Odell Beckham Jr. has an arrest warrant out for him from the New Orleans police. Now, Odell is reportedly overseas right now, but he's going to have to come to New Orleans at some point. Apparently, according to the New Orleans Police Department, they confirmed that the security guard who was in the Superdome locker room where the LSU team was celebrating has filed a complaint. Now, real quick, I thought that was a police officer. That was a security guard? It looks like a police officer doing security. It says it's a security guard who filed a police report.
He has a gun.
Is that a gun?
Yep. I thought it was a gun on his
I didn't see that one more time, yes. I can't. I know that looks – well, it looks like he's wearing a bag. It looks like it's a police logo on his right arm, but that could be a security thing. And it is relevant. Is that what they believe is a gun, Michael?
If you pull out more of the right side, it looks like he has a gun. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Well – here's Rob Ninkovich, who thinks that
that looks like an officer.
That's what I said too. That's what I said too. Either way, if you don't know exactly what happened after the game, players were celebrating. It appears like the security guard sort of trying to check the bottles that the players have to make sure the players aren't drinking. And Odell,
I'm a little bit overly officious. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, they were doing a lot. They were definitely doing a lot. And Odell started messing around with one of the security or officers doing it and ended up slapping him on the butt and then sort of like jokingly kind of like hovers in his face, kind of taunting a bit. Anyways, here's Rob Ninkovich saying the charges against Odell are kind of ridiculous.
It could have been after the fact. Maybe he went back to work and everyone's like, ha-ha, like you got slapped on the butt by OBJ. And he's like, who was that? Oh, okay, let me file this. You know, so it's just a little silly that he would file that for what it was, because it wasn't violent. It wasn't malicious. It was, he was in a locker room with guys celebrating that they had just won a national championship. And now he has to deal with this, which I think it's silly.
How does Rob Ninkovich know what the guy was thinking?
He's very close with the guy.
But we need to find out, because I think it's important, the difference between a security guard and a police officer. If it's a security guard, it's still not the right thing to do, but it's a little different than if it's an actual police officer. I'm reading the Washington Post story that says it was a police officer.
Looked like one to me.
It looks like a police officer.
It does not look like a security guard.
That is an awful take by Ninkovich.
No, I got to tell you, the Ninkovich take was, I'm glad we played it. It was stupid.
It was dumb.
I mean, now, was what he did harmful or like dangerous? No, but it was certainly disrespectful and obnoxious. And you can't, if it was, but Don, to your point, that's what makes a huge difference. Because if it was a security guard who is not a police officer at all, and what you thought was a gun was like a baton, and what I thought was a badge was just a security little patch, then what he did was simply obnoxious and not criminal. But if it's a cop, you can't go slapping cops on the butt. I'm sorry, you can't do it.
It also wasn't a great day or a couple of hours for Odell handing out money on the field.
No.
He looks like a complete jerk.
But
First of all, the national championship was not about you, Odell.
Nothing to do with you. And what an opportunity it was to be like a cool elder statesman. He like flipped it on its head and makes himself look like a complete jackwagon. You know how easy it is, Don, to look cool on a day like that when you're Odell? Just come come back to school wearing your cool outfit. You know, dress up in your Odell-ish way, floss, bring a hot woman with you, enjoy yourself from the sideline. Well, what do you have to do? You know what I mean? You're Odell Beckham Jr. But instead, and this is why he makes it so tough to defend him sometimes, and sometimes I feel like I should because people take out such anger towards him. But man, of all his jackwagon moves, this was high on the list.
He's screaming for attention. And that's all that is. You are not part of the 2020 national champion LSU team. When you were there, they didn't win a national title. Sorry. Don't try to attach yourself like a parasite onto it. Yeah, I know you're one of the great alums, but stop it. Giving out money to the players, that was just low class. It really was low class.
Well, let's hear from Jalen Rose on Odell.
We just played a football game, won the national championship. I'm a player on the team. This is my moment. Okay?
Thank you.
Now you come and give me cash. Now the NCAA is going to be investigating my school and going to tarnish potentially what our team accomplished.
Good job, Jalen.
Based on your action.
Smart. Great point.
And by the way, and coming from Jalen Rose.
What happened with the Fab Five and everything. I'm telling you, that's just a really smart point. Now you've cast a pall on what should have been a night for forever for that university because of your actions.
And by the way, it's been only – today's – what day is today? Thursday?
Thursday.
This was Monday night?
Yeah.
When I looked up today at our TVs, which are on all the time with rotating sports, I saw the Odell story 10 different times, never saw one highlight from the LSU game. It's already over.
Right.
The only story that exists now on Thursday is not that Joe Burrow threw for nearly 500 yards and 5 touchdowns. It's Odell. I have not heard this yet, guys, and I simply wanted to play – the audio of Chris Russo from the other day, our friend of the show, Mad Dog, going off.
We call them FOTS.
Yeah, no, well, I can't do that though because we've been doing it on Ebro for longer.
I never even knew that.
Yeah, once you brought it up here, I felt bad kind of jumping in. We use it as plural though. We say friends of the show, FOTS. We don't call one person a FOTS. That's a FOT.
But he's still a
that's
friend
a friend of
the.
No, that's just a friend of the.
So he's a FOT.
He's a FOT.
Well,
plural.
So
FOTS.
I'm different.
So it's different, exactly.
And I've never really heard your show.
Because you're a bad guy.
No, because I'm not up at that time, and I don't think I'm going to.
Really?
I'm not going to be playing that music while my kids are in the car because it could be.
But we talk.
A curse
we
word.
Talk for extensive.
Yeah, but what if I happen to put on when there's a
Don's heard the show. First of all, it's a radio show. Why would there be cursing? What are you, Rich Kleiman? We don't curse on that show.
Yeah, but it's still objectionable content. My kids aren't ready yet for that.
Well, I hope they get there soon.
They don't even curse in the house.
Don's heard the show before.
Yeah, quite a bit.
I listened for about 25 seconds once.
Thank you.
I heard a completely different Peter Rosenberg than the one that's on this show. Different inflections in your voice.
You're just going by the swearing because of what happened with Rich Kleiman.
Yeah.
Because Rich Kleiman's like,
we can't curse here. I curse on Hot 97.
Right.
Not true.
Well, why did he say it? Why did he make 4 picks that failed?
We did correct him right away. And he's never been on Hot, by the way. He's been too hot.
Okay.
Never been on the air.
Gotcha.
Now let's hear from Mad Dog, his thoughts on the Astro players who need to explain themselves in only a way that Mad Dog can.
So all these great Astro players who won a championship and 2 pennants, that's all now in question. So they're dead. All of them are dead. I don't want to hear a word out of them. And where's Verlander? Where is he? I mean, Verlander's got a lot to say about everything. He had no idea what was going on. They won a World Series. He pitched game 6 against the Yankees. He pitched game 2 against the Yankees. Where is Verlander? He can't shut him up. Where is his comments now? Where is him? Let me hear him. Where are they? Now the Astro players, Gurriel, El Tuve, Bregman, Correa, all these guys got a lot to say. Verlander got thousands of things to say. Verlander's kicking guys out of the media room because there's like the fact they said something bad about him in the Detroit Free Press. All right, Bregman, you can't get a microphone away from him. I mean, all of them, they got a cocky attitude, they're arrogant, everything else. Let me hear what the Astros have to say now. They got the GM fired, they got the manager fired, they got the owner fined $5 million, and they lost 4 draft picks, first and second, in the next 2 years, in the next foreseeable future. And the championship is tainted. Let me hear what the Astros have to say now, when spring training rolls around, when they go to Yankee Stadium in September. Let me hear what they have to say now. Bregman, who cheated. Altuve, cheated. Gurriel, and I don't want to hear anybody say, well, Altuve doesn't want to know what the strike zone is anyway with the pitchers. I heard that excuse this week. Well, you know, he doesn't like to know what the pitchers are. Nonsense. Cheat it.
Courtesy of MLB Network and Mad Dog Radio on SiriusXM.
You're reading!
High heat on MLB. He's right. Where is Verlander? He's a talky-talky guy.
And so is Bregman. And I kind of like both of them, and they're really honest, but you know, Verlander was so outspoken about domestic violence abusers on teams. And then when the Astros got Osuna, not a peep. He's a big, big criticizer of PEDs. But now this is cheating. Now this is proof. Forget about the buzzers. We know they were cheating. They just got disciplined for it. Not a peep. Not a peep.
You're not gonna hear anything from him.
But then you come off as disingenuous and phony.
The criticism shouldn't be, why aren't they talking now? Of course they're not gonna talk now. It's about one of their teammates. It's about something that they were actually involved in. The criticism should be, why don't you just shut up having an opinion about every other team in baseball? Especially nowadays. Because that domestic violence guy could end up being on your team. That team that cheated might actually cheat. One of your teammates might actually be taking PEDs. That's where the criticism should be. Just shut up. Like all these people, too. I mean, no, not that the Yankee fans have any control of it, but, you know, you got to be careful. What if this Gleyber Torres thing turns out to be a thing? Remember that? Michael brought it up during the interview with John Boy.
Yeah, I hope that. I mean, it. The if for but, people but,
my
talking
point
about,
is that you can't go on your high horse and say, we got robbed, I can't believe it, and then all of a sudden you get. You find out there's a guy on your team that had a historic year that might have been getting the pitches. Because it's the same thing with PEDs. It was isolated until all of a sudden it was everywhere.
Yeah, but then when you heard John Boy say that he knew that Cashman is complaining to Major League Baseball. I mean, Cashman's too smart. There's no way Cashman would be complaining that vociferously if there was something going on toward on his own team.
No, certainly. So, you could have said, well, Verlander wouldn't have been talking about all these people if he knew something was going on.
But, you know, Verlander said all of this stuff. Verlander said this stuff about domestic violence abusers before they got Osuna. Then he shut up. And again, we don't know exactly what pitchers knew about what was going on. They could have seen.
No, there's a world in which something could be happening. Yeah. To Cashman.
I am not accusing the Yankees of anything. I'm just saying that right now the Astros have the target on their back as if they're the only ones doing this. Do we really believe that all 29 other teams in baseball
were victims? Doesn't matter because one person gets pulled over for doing 85 and 100 other people, right. The guy gets pulled over gets the ticket, not the other 85.
But what I'm saying is that you've got a lot of players, right? That are saying stuff right now. Do they know that their team is clean? Right?
Trevor Bauer's
talking, right?
Trevor Bauer is actually, he sells shirts and it says Houston and has a Band-Aid over it. He said, right. Buy it now before they take it down.
So what happens
now? Yeah.
What happens if a future team he's on gets tagged with this?
I think Trevor Bauer would give them up. He's got that kind of mouth. Did you see Yahoo Sports just now?
No.
They just tweeted it, 4 hours ago. I didn't see it, just saw it now. So the cash with Odell, the slap, and he was also escorted out of the stands because the band wouldn't play Neck. He went up to where the band was, and he was asking him to play Neck. I don't know what Neck is.
No, I don't know what's on there.
And two looked like state troopers escorted him out of the stands.
He looked intoxicated,
there it is. Good day for Odell.
Oh, stumbling. He's stumbling to the band.
Boy, the Browns should move him as quickly as they can.
What is he doing?
He looks a little bit out of it, to tell you the truth.
No, he looks intoxicated, that's for sure. And, like, isn't it weird when someone who's so cool in theory shows up and you're like, oh, my gosh, Odell's here. Oh, man, Odell's here, but he's a little drunk. Oh, man, Odell won't stop talking to me. Can we get Odell out of here? You know, I feel like he ruined it with these kids.
Can you think of anybody that is cool, that is still cool while they're drunk?
Drunk?
You don't have to go back to, like, Dean Martin. But many people thought he was fake and being drunk anyway. But I mean, how many cool people?
I don't want to pat myself on the back. But I don't. It depends if you don't get drunk. If you're someone who drinks but never gets stumbling drunk, then you can still be cool. But once you get that way, when you can't really walk well and you're stepping over it, that's tough.
Can I make an outrageous statement?
Go ahead.
I'm cooler than Odell. At 58, about to be 59, I would never, ever act that nozzly. Ever. That was a night of nozzle for him.
Well, when we talk about Odell being cool, a lot of that just comes from how great a football player he is. I mean, is he?
Yeah,
is,
but his look, you know, he looks like he's a cool guy.
Has he really done anything cool outside of catching a ball with one hand?
Oh, he had that nice pizza.
Well, I told you there was the pizza crust.
Yeah.
Was that cool though?
No.
No.
I told you that one year.
The only way to eat pizza is pizza on the chest.
told you that one year he showed up to my my birthday party at the concert and then afterwards came to dinner. So about 20 people at dinner, which is so weird in retrospect, but whatever. It was Ballard. It was a regular group of people. My brother, we're all sitting around, and Odell is just sitting at the table with
Ballard.
Us. Ballard! And he didn't speak. I mean, you talk about cool. Cool usually involves feeling some level of comfort. He was a nerdy, shy kid. He did not talk at all. At all.
I'm cool.
You, on the other hand.
But you know what? I walk into a room, I own it.
Here's why you're not cool.
It's unbelievable.
And I don't even try.
No,
it's just something about me.
Here's why you would be disqualified from being cool.
Okay, please tell me.
Because when somebody is cool, they don't have to say it. And you keep barking about it.
Well, he does scream about it quite a bit. It's a good point by Don.
It's a very good point by you.
It's a very strong point.
But not enough people are recognizing it, so I've got to bring it to their attention.
It's a great point by Michael.
No, it's not a great point because you made a good
point. Point counterpoint.
Then he's probably not cool. Because when do you have to tell everybody, I'm cool? When is somebody cool and nobody really realizes or recognizes it? That never happens.
Well, you know what? It's happening now.
Cool speaks for itself.
Now,
you both make salient points.
At 7 o'clock, Yes Network's having a hot stove show for an hour.
Not if you're on it, because it's the cool stuff.
I was just sent this breakdown. This is great about Altuve in 2017.
I love it.
So he played in 18 postseason games. 18. You got that? Mm-hmm. 2017. The 9 home games, Peter and Don, he had .472, 6 homers, 12 ribbies, an OPS of 1.541, which is unbelievable. On the road, he hit .143, a home run, 2 ribbies, an OPS of 497. 6 multi-hit games at home, 1 on the road.
Right. That's about every stat is ridiculously down during 2017 on the road.
In the postseason.
In the postseason.
Yeah.
I mean, really, if this was a trial, it would be over. I mean, really, it's...
I know. And it
the
seems
evidence
like such
is piled up.
And it seems like such a stretch, but is it?
Now, as Michael said, can you prove it? Well, what they're going to need at some point, if they really wanted to open up an official investigation, is to get somebody to talk.
Maybe the new Met, Jake Marisnik, could tell us.
Well, J.D. Davis is somebody who can go back to 2017.
Yeah.
But they already got that figured out.
Incarcerated Bob weighed in.
What did Bob say?
This may be controversial.
I don't want to do this, but go ahead.
But I hear what he's saying about the cool drunk.
Right.
Joe Namath. Now, he may have made some mistakes. He may have made some mistakes that publicly didn't play that well.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see him being a cool drunk.
A lot of people I know that are cool drunks.
But there are some.
But when you cross over the line to sloppy and annoying.
See, that's the line. Don.
Odell's living over that line.
It's less drunk. It's sloppy. Once you take the step into sloppy or repeating, here's my number one thing. Once you repeat things to me.
Oh, we got some people at work here, repeaters.
They get right into your face.
Hey,
Peter, I want to tell you something. I love what you and Michael and Don are doing. I love what you guys are doing. Thank you. Appreciate it. Blah, blah, blah. It's been a pleasure having you. Go enjoy yourself. Get a delicious chicken wing.
They do it again.
Blah, blah, come on. Yeah, Peter, I listen all the time. You and Don and Michael, what you guys are doing, it's fantastic. Well, we just covered that, pal.
You know
what am I supposed to say?
One of my great joys.
What's that?
Happened to be when I was younger. I would love to go into bars and stay sober because people look so ridiculous in their drunk.
So look down at them.
Yeah, I would feel high and mighty over them.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And then, you know. I just stood there and watched.
Wow. Pushed them around almost.
No, I didn't push them around. I laughed at them under my breath.
Much kinder.
Because I was always in control.
That's the kind of guy you are.
Yeah.
Let's listen. A guy who's always in control is J.J. Redick.
He is in control. Good segue.
He's on, speaking on The Ringer here about NBA players and their preparation or lack thereof.
There's just too much stuff going on. Yeah. There's too many people in your ear. There's not enough time in the day probably for some guys. They got Fortnite to go to.
That's so sad.
They got to worry about getting a fit off for pregame.
That makes me so sad. This makes me deeply sad.
This is an issue. I really believe this. I think there's more.
This makes me profoundly sad.
There's more guys concerned with getting a pregame fit on Instagram than they are worrying about the win and loss of a basketball game.
Yeah.
I stand by that.
That's genuinely.
That's awful.
It's very concerning to me.
That he's dead right, and it's really awful.
You know what a pregame fit is?
Something with Instagram, right? You put a good picture on Instagram, am I wrong?
Don, you know what a pregame fit is?
No idea.
I asked, before he said Instagram, I thought it was being fitted for an outfit.
Does that count?
Yeah, being fitted for an outfit.
Not fitted for an outfit. Your pregame fit is just, it's short for outfit. Getting your outfit together. Like, nice
but
fit.
But why would you walking into the
if you
arena,
post,
gotcha.
If you post an outfit and someone, oh, nice fit. That's, it's just outfit.
Okay.
That's it. You were pretty close. It took you time, but we got there. And I liked what you did. Don just completely punted. I like that you fought through.
Well, I don't know.
You love lists, though. Couldn't you make a list of things it could have been?
I can make you a list of things that I just don't know. I mean, we'll be here forever.
No, but I do like the
hostile
image.
Rage.
I do like the image that Michael did of getting fitted. So, like, he means on Instagram, you post someone with a tape measure, your tailor, you know, pencil in his mouth right beforehand.
Yeah,
but that is a problem if that's really happening in the NBA, and people are. More concerned.
I read a story
on
J.J. Redick the other day. Mm-hmm. He's doing things at his age that no NBA player's ever done.
No, he's ridiculous.
He's gotten much better as he's gotten older because he works really hard.
He really does. I cannot believe he's still this good. I've hated him for so long.
He's 35 years old.
I know.
But more than any other sport, even though I think the NBA's gotten better where there's multiple teams now that can win championships, you've got a large percentage of the league that's got no hope. Right? You're not playing to win a championship. You're playing, and then it just becomes... You start playing for yourself. You start looking at how you can build your brand, and you're concerned more with that because you're stuck on a team that's going to win 20 games and nobody cares about you.
You want to see a gorgeous...
Not defending it, but in other sports, you know what? I mean, you know, like football, you only got so many games, but...
You want to see a gorgeous fit, go to my Instagram, Rosenberg Radio, and see my outfit that I wore on Tamron Hall earlier today.
You know what? That was just a home run. It's really between that and the shot you hit in Celebrity All-Star Game.
Wow. Two best moments.
Two greatest accomplishments in this business. Seriously.
Wow.
You were fantastic today.
A 10 a.m. appearance on Tamron Hall. You really think it was that strong?
Oh, I wish you could have promoted it and more people would have watched it.
Yeah. Was that live?
So they're live in New York at 10 and some other markets.
What time does...
My brother watched it in D.C. at 1,
What time does Ebro run?
We are over at 10.
So how'd you get there in time? Or did you leave early?
The 9 o'clock hour. Oh, God, let me just hit the drop now. Hold on. With the 9 o'clock hour is mixing for the most part.
Okay.
So when I finished up at the bottom of the 8 o'clock, because we didn't have any interviews today, I rolled out and did Tamron Hall.
And then got yourself a fit.
But for the record, no, I had a great fit. And for the record, when I went on the air, though,
right.
I was promoted as Peter Rosenberg. Now, listen, I said to them to promote me as Peter Rosenberg, host on Hot 97 and ESPN.
Right.
No names associated, just the brands.
Right.
They came back and said, we don't want it to be confusing with the sports part of ESPN. We're going to do Peter Rosenberg co-host on Ebro in the morning. So I want you to know I tried.
Tell Tamron Hall, dead to me.
Oh, my God.
Why don't you they're in this building, aren't they?
Their offices are in this building. They shot in the other building.
They can't use a sports expert. All the stuff going on today, we can't even fit it in 4 hours.
You know,
I can't get a Tamron Hall hit.
Well, you want to go? You want to do it too?
No, unless they pay.
They did not pay.
Well, then I'll pass.
Kyrie Irving.
Why should I give up my stuff for free?
Kyrie Irving had some interesting things.
That's why I don't do podcasts.
Had an interesting thing to say about his Brooklyn Nets.
It's glaring in terms of the pieces that we need in order for us to be at that next level, and I'm gonna continue to reiterate it. You know, we're going to do the best with the guys that we have within our locker room now. It's just something that we signed up for. We knew what we were coming into in the beginning of the season. Guys are going down left and right for us. You know, GT's out. DJ got hurt tonight. Wilson's just coming back. And then we have complimentary young guys as well that have done a great job for the last 3 years. So collectively, I feel like we have great pieces. But obviously, it's pretty glaring that we need, you know, one more piece or two more pieces that will complement myself, KD, DJ, GT, Spence, Karis. And, you know, we'll see how that evolves.
That's not what you want.
Really, Kyrie. Back off.
We got to deal with what we got is basically what he's saying about his teammates. That's not ideal.
I mean, you've been out for 2 months. I'm not saying that
they've been carrying.
They were 500 team without you. You can't be saying that. Yeah, if you want to walk up to Sean Marks and go, listen, this is what we need, I'm sure he would love your input. But to make that public and to diss your team, I'm sorry, that's a bad look. That's awful. There's no way that Kenny Atkinson and Marks could be happy with this. There's no way. And they shouldn't be. Shut up. I know you're a leader, but you can't be a leader when you don't play. And then you play a couple of games and you drop a bomb like that. Come on, man.
Why would he do that?
Listen, I'm glad they have him. He's a strange little bird.
I'm a big fan. I really do like him. But No. That wasn't the move. Conor McGregor is fighting Cowboy Cerrone this weekend, Saturday night on ESPN Plus. Conor says he likes Cowboy, but he's going to knock him out.
Donald predicted Aldo. I wouldn't get through Aldo. I got through Aldo. He predicted I was too small for the 155-pound division. I conquered that division. You know, we've had a good back and forth, myself and Donald. And as time has gone on, you know, he's become a family man. Obviously, you've seen him compete so many times. It's hard not to respect Donald right now at this stage. And he has my respect. And although there will be blood spilled on January 18th, it will not be bad blood. And for the Mystic Mac prediction, it will be a KO.
So funny. I find Connor so obnoxious, but I cannot lie to you and say I don't enjoy listening to him. I do.
He's a great villain.
He's a really great villain. And his accent's great. His voice is great.
Now, is it Cerrone or Cerrone? I've heard people say Cerrone.
You know, honestly, I've been aware of Donald Cerrone for 10 years already. I say it both ways. I really don't know. I'm not committed to it.
Now, do we have...
Let's go to Ariel. Should we call Ariel?
I thought you booked Ariel for tomorrow.
Let's see if he
didn't
has.
You?
No, I wasn't sure if you were serious.
6:30.
Let's call him right now. Get to get him on the line.
What is wrong with you?
If he's really serious about coming on the K-Show, don't you think he answers my call?
I don't know.
He's in Las Vegas. It's 3:30.
3:31.
Hello?
Ariel Helwani, you're live on the Michael K-Show.
No, I'm not.
Oh, yes, you are.
For a second.
Yes, you are.
No, you are definitely on the air. Two things.
No.
No,
yes. I don't believe this. You know why? Because I've been living in New York City since 2004, and the Michael K. Show, by the way, I'm a huge fan of, and I love Don LaGreca, and I love Peter Rosenberg, and I love all you guys. You've never asked me once to be on your program, so this is definitely a prank.
No, this is real. Michael, say something to him.
We need to know how to pronounce Cowboy's last name, and we said you're the guy that could tell us.
Wait a second. This doesn't seem like it's an on-air interview.
This is on-air.
This is real.
Why does Michael K. sound like he's so far away?
Because Peter has his phone to the microphone.
I called you on my cell phone because I'm a professional.
This is how the number one radio station in the number one market does things?
Yeah, it's back to the roots.
Michael K., I used to watch you on Network doing the halftime interviews and the post-game interviews, and I dreamed of talking to you. This is the way we're meeting for the first time?
You know,
what's the question?
We're going to have a better meeting somewhere down the line, but how do you pronounce the Cowboys' last name? Is it Cerrone or Cerrone?
Cerrone.
Now, follow-up question for you. Will you join us tomorrow 6:30 to talk about McGregor Cerrone? This exact time tomorrow.
I'm in Las Vegas right now. Are we talking Eastern or Pacific?
So 3:30 for you tomorrow.
Is that the Larry David time slot?
That's
the Larry David.
It's a little later. A little later than the Larry.
It's a little later than the Larry slot, but it's still a slot.
Okay, fair.
These slots are very valuable.
Yeah, very valuable. All right, thanks, Ariel. I'll call you in a little bit to confirm.
Much love, guys.
Bye.
I told you he's a good man.
Wow.
And he knows how to, by the way, he really knows how to win you over.
Yeah, compliment.
100%. That'll do it for ENN on this Thursday evening.
Well, just a reminder, you can hear the Islanders call of tonight's Rangers-Islanders game on 970. And if you'd like to hear the pregame show, Don LaGreca right now is on 1050 AM doing the pregame show for Rangers-Islanders from the island. 1-800-919-3776. Boy, we've had a lot to cover today. Now it's up to you. We'll take you right up until the next pregame show at 7. Want to hear from you. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.